We bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. We're very thankful to be here. And we've had a lot of food for thought so far, especially in talking about the race that we're all running. The title for the message I have chosen is Sharing Our Faith. We have heard quite a bit about faith, and since Henry preached here a few Sundays ago on the shield of faith, my wife has talked about that quite a bit since we heard that message, the shield of faith. And you know, we heard about how we can build ourselves up in the faith and how we look at things in life, especially in times when the going is rough, times when we meet resistance, you know, and the shield we put there, of how important all that is. But it made me think of how do we share our faith? And Brother Ernie talked to us last Sunday about the main thing that stood out to me was the lamps went out. And the importance was that our lamps, our lights, are brightly shining for Jesus. So this message might, maybe you're thinking, well, we've heard a lot about that lately. But it is the central reason, one of the core reasons, I believe, of why we are here, of why we are existing today in the faith where we are. How do we share this faith that we claim to have? How do we let our light shine brightly, and that light will bless another person and help to build him up or her in their faith that they have? How can we strengthen each other? How can we strengthen the believers? We can't do it if we don't have faith. Brother Henry talked about Job's miserable friends, so to speak. He might not have used that term, but it was of how his wife related to him, cursed God and died, and his friends came and just accused him of different things. It didn't help Job any. What Job needed was somebody that could come to him and share the faith. So when that did not happen, Job reached within himself and got what God put there. And there are times in life that we need to do the same thing. Especially at times when someone else may be trying to shine their light at you, hoping to help you, and it has just the opposite effect. I don't know if you've felt that or not. But then our focus, you know, gets off from how that person might have meant it or trying to help. That's where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to look on the bright side. I'd like to turn to Matthew in chapter 28. And when we think of sharing our faith, we ask the question, what is important to you? Where do you put your weight? Here, in Matthew 28, starting to read there in verse 16, this is what is referred to as the Great Commission. You've heard people talking, maybe already, or preachers talking about the Great Commission. Maybe you've wondered what that is, especially some of the younger ones. What is the Great Commission? There are a couple of greats in the Bible, and Jesus talked about the great commandment. And I'm sure y'all can tell me what that great commandment was, but it was simply on our focus to our God and what He gives us and what we give Him. See, we can't give anything to God that He didn't first give to us. As the Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. So if we have love and peace and joy and all those things, and we can spread that around, it's just because of what God gave us. But the great commandment was to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on this hang all the law and the prophets. So there's got to be, this has got to be of great significance. It's the great commandment. It's a commandment that is central to the gospel, central to the message that God has for us, central to the message Jesus had when He walked this earth. It all was central to that. So it's called the Great Commandment. But now here we talk about the Great Commission. In verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. When I read that, I was just thinking a lot about that. Of how Jesus told them to meet Him at a certain appointed place. And He does that to us at times where He wants us to meet Him at a certain place. It could be that closet where He wants you to go, where just you and Him can be alone and discuss some things. And here He says that they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Has that been a picture of us at times when we met Jesus in an appointed place and Jesus would have had to say that you are doubting? And this all has to do with sharing, because Jesus wanted to give the disciples a great commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I don't think we can stress enough what that means. The fact that all power was given to Jesus. Now it's like the whole thing is hanging on Jesus Christ. The whole thing. Then He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This, what Jesus said right here, is central. It is the core of what we are here about on this earth. And we might think, well, let's all pack up our bags and go out and spread the word. But I think that He's, I wouldn't say just the opposite, but I believe that it's like Ernie was saying, that in the place where you are, that you are sharing your faith and letting your light shine where you are. And the Great Commission we talk about is the fact that God has given us a mission. How do you call your fellow people that work with you in your job. Suppose you work at a certain place and there's a dozen other people there that also work at the same place. What do you call them? You refer to them as your co-workers. They are my co-workers. And this here, we're talking about a commission. And Jesus was saying that I have a mission, and I want you as my co-workers or my co-mission. You are to be with me in this mission that I have. Are we now God's co-workers, or are we in commission with God and we are all pulling together as a team to accomplish the mission that Jesus has for us? And that mission is to share the faith. And I'm convinced, for me, you can believe what you want to as far as missions and reaching out and all that, but I believe that the great overriding commission that God wants is that we are careful with the mission that He has given us right where we live. We all have work to do. Henry, he fixes mowers. And, you know, if his central thing is to make the dollar, central thing is to make a living for my family. And that's important, that's true. But I believe that Henry is looking at, when he fixes a mower, that he wants a person that is sitting on that mower to have a good experience in mowing the lawn. I think he wants that. And Irvin does concrete work. And I believe that there is a responsibility there, and I believe he has it, that when he goes off the job and that concrete is set and hard and finished and everything, he wants those people to be happy with that work. And when those people are happy, they thank him for it or whatever, that is more important than the money that he gets for doing it. That is sharing the faith. And I know some of y'all are involved in singing. Mike's family, they do a lot of singing. But Mike is also in carpenter business. And I'd just like to ask this question. Is it more important to God when you go out and sing in front of 1,000 people? Is that more important than trying to satisfy some disgruntled housewife, and you've changed her kitchen how many times and tore this out and redid this, trying to satisfy? Is God more interested in you trying to satisfy that person than in singing in front of 1,000 people? That's just a question. And for me, I have some disgruntled people that come to our business sometimes at Yoder Brothers. And just the other day, one of the ladies told me that there's this certain woman that comes there, and she's so picky, and everything has to be just so. And she comes there, and she's upset about this and that, and this worker that works for us told me that James enjoys going up there and talking with this lady and just like shrinking her problems and dealing with them to the point where in the end she's happy. And James just enjoys that. Well, I'm not sure if I can quite say that, but it brings me to the question, is God more interested in how I deal with a disgruntled person that seems to me unreasonable than if I would have an assignment to preach at a certain place in front of 1,000 people? Is God more interested in how I deal with that one person than he is over the words that I preach and say to 1,000 people? What is God more interested in? And then we have so many scriptures in the Bible. Just for instance, in going to Timothy. There are things here that he says, just like in 1 Timothy 5. He talks about life, about the important things in life. My mom is no longer here. Pop is by himself. And there are others who have lost parents and have lost children and so on. But here he says, honor widows that are widows indeed, in verse 3. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Look at the importance of what God is saying here about the widows. The people who are just at home by themselves, how are they sharing their faith? It talks about showing piety at home. To requite their parents. It talks to children here about how they are relating to their parents, what they are doing, something God is so interested in. He's talking here about the Great Commission. He's talking about sharing the faith. Continuing in supplication and prayers night and day. Something that is so unnoticed. I don't want to just stand here and glorify people either. But, you know, I've noticed, you know, in our church, in our community, when you relate to people, how helpful they are. I noticed that. And it makes me think of the times I have turned people down and felt like my things are more important. But you know, when somebody needs to go to a funeral, a family needs to go to a funeral, and somebody is willing to go out there and milk those dirty cows and do those chores and feed those animals, that is sharing the faith likely more than what I'm sharing the faith right now in preaching to you. It just seems to me that way. There is so much in the Bible that is talking about just everyday life and letting our light shine at the place where we are and how we relate to people and circumstances. And we've heard so much of running the race this morning. We've heard of running the race, and Pop brought out about the people who, when one stumbled and fell, they all stopped and helped that person get up, and they all walked across the finish line together. That is sharing the faith. And in fact, the race that we run, it's not about going 0 to 60, so to speak. When we talk about the spiritual race we're winning, it is a lot about stopping and looking around and seeing where I could do some good. And so many times we need to just get ourselves out of the way. That was also brought out in Sunday school lesson of it's so often it just boils down to self. What is hindering us in the race that we're running? It is ourself. How many times are we willing to deny ourselves all the pleasures, the different things we want to do, Yeah, we love to go to the Smokies and a lot of different places, you know, and just enjoy ourselves. And we like to, you know, so many things we like to do. But what are we willing to, are we willing to deny this self? That I'm not talking about the fact that it's wrong to go to the Smokies or wrong to enjoy ourselves. It's not that. But I think our main focus is what can we do for each other? How much time do we have to spend in helping somebody else? And when we're running a race, you know, we talk about gaining ground. And I've heard people talk about that in their lives where you might hear somebody say, I think I'm gaining ground. Are they talking about the ground out there? Are they talking about buying the next farm? No, it's not about that. When I'm gaining ground, I'm gaining something in my spiritual life that is helping me walk closer to God. That's gaining ground. We sing a song sometimes about our feet on higher ground. We're wanting higher ground. That's like gaining ground. It's like how much territory is being given up these days to the evil one. We talk about moral decay in our country. But that moral decay, you know, we look out over the land and we see where morals are going backwards and there's moral decay, but it all is in the hearts of the people. And how much responsibility are we willing to take, you know, as we relate to the neighbors around us? You know, what are we saying to the neighbors? There are people at our business who have their feelers out, and they are probing some of the Mennonite girls that are there. You know, how are things in your life? What do you believe about morals? How do Mennonite girls relate to morals? What goes on in your youth group? What goes on in your personal life? How do you look at things? We have a lady there that has asked a lot of questions to one of the young girls. And they're just like, can't believe it. You mean you have those kinds of morals for yourself? Are your friends that way too? The people in your church, are they that way? God is intensely interested that that light shines and that that faith is shared. That's what God is interested in. That is what helps God believe that he's gaining ground. And you know, there has been a fight ever since the bite was taken out of the fruit. There has been a battle, a war between God and Satan for territory, for ground. And we know that. We are concerned that Christianity can prosper and spread and grow throughout the world. And I certainly don't believe it's wrong to go to some far country and preach the gospel. But I believe when it talks about the Great Commission here, he is saying spread out. And I believe the essence of what he's asking here is that when you have a witness in a certain place and that has stabilized and there's a good witness there, then look for another place where you can go and settle in a permanent manner, so to speak. Not just go over there for a year and then move out and go somewhere else, you know, be around. But, you know, I like all the different communities that we have spread out through the whole United States, being a witness to those neighbors. And how many, if you look at all the Amish and Mennonites that we have in America today, and you think of all those little lights shining individually, and it has to do with how I relate to my neighbor. am I willing to let him buy that farm? And I back out because I know he wants it? Or do I somehow, you know, go in there and try to get that one way or the other? I think God is intensely interested in that. Spreading the gospel might have just very little to do with what we actually preach and say and sing and so on. It has everything to do with what we do when the difficult times come, when the going is rough, when we have opposition. Those are the times when you have a wonderful opportunity to share the faith. And it is so important to God. He also, in 1 Timothy in chapter 2, he talks to us there about the things that are so important to God. In the lives we live that, you know, is not that obvious. But God is interested. I exhort, therefore, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, when we look at this verse, how much of this has to do with preaching or being out there in the open and relating to people? It looks to me like this is closet material right here. This is what he's asking for us to do that you can do in a little room all by yourself and nobody else knowing that you're doing that. I exhort, therefore. And see, he was talking in just the former chapter. I exhort, therefore. He's talking about something before. And he says in verse 19 of the former chapter, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, what does your ship look like? And he says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. But we have those who are walking away from us and turning their back on God, having made shipwreck. That is not a good situation. But then he says, what I want you to do about that is to go in your closet, so to speak, and make supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks. Thank God for all situations. Then he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Does this have to do with the Great Commission? Remember, it is a commission, and we're like linking arms with Jesus Christ to go on his mission. That's what it's about. And you know, some have already talked about the Amish. Sie sind die Stille im Land. Or in other words, they look a lot at this quiet and peaceable life as one that I can just stay at home and do my own things, just not create any disturbance. Just be a peaceful man where I am. You know, we don't need to become unbalanced. But God is wanting us to reach out. When he talks about a peaceable life, I guess I would tend to believe that that has more to do with when you share your faith, are you creating peace? When you share your faith, or are you creating some kind of just conflict? You know, there are people that seems like conflict just follows them around. You know, wherever they go, there's some kind of conflict, some kind of argument. And sometimes you see it a little bit on Facebook, you know, that person, you know, did so and so to me, and it kind of becomes a public thing. It's not a peaceable life, because the peaceable life it's talking about here is not the fact that I myself have peace, but that as I share with others, that I am working for peace. I'm working that they can have the peace that God gives. And it can be through us. That's why we need to, it has to do with when there is a customer that is extremely unhandy and angry at us or me, that I can go and somehow share with him in a way that he can become a peaceful person. It's not for me to become a recluse and just not cause any disturbances. It is creating peace in the environment where you are by how you relate to those around you. That is the peaceable life. It is one who is active in spite of here where it says quiet. Are we relating? When we share our faith with a troubled person, a confused person, does it create a quiet, peaceable heart? A heart that quietens down to the point where God can speak to that heart. In all godliness and honesty. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and when he hung on the cross, he asked the question, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when he did that for us. He did that for us, folks. He was willing to forsake the glories of heaven. And it was like for becoming estranged from God and becoming a sinner, becoming a condemned person, hanging on a cross, and he did that for us because he wants to link arms with you and go on a co-mission and doing the same thing. So what are we willing to forsake for him? And he bought us through that. We are representing our Savior. And as you walk around this coming week, and as you relate to the people around you, maybe you are jockeying for position. You're moving around for position or somehow getting a hold on, you know, making sure I'm taken care of or making sure my things go okay. Or are we sharing in a way that we realize that we're willing to sacrifice my house? Not everything may be in order. The stuff might not all be put away, but somebody else needs help, and I'm just willing to go there. That's sharing the faith. In closing here, if we go to Romans in chapter 1, there's a phrase here that stood out to me. Romans chapter 1, and it's in verse 9. The Apostle Paul here is, I'll go back up to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And then he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And what really caught my attention is where he says, whom I serve, the God, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. if we could really get the essence of what he's saying here and grasp that for ourselves, the sharing of our faith will be successful. It means that I am one with the Spirit of God. I am one, and I'm serving him completely. And he talks then with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. And how many times was it when Jesus was walking this earth and he went about and cured the sicknesses of men? And I think we need to be careful in our, as we relate to sicknesses. The last time we were in Mexico, and I'm certainly not against praying to God to heal this physical body. I'm not against that. But I think our focus needs to be that my body is owned by God. And he can do with it whatever he wants to. If he wants to bring it to an end, if he wants to strike it with cancer, if he wants to strike it with MS or any other kind of physical ailment, if he wants to strike it, that is certainly his privilege to do so. And I will have peace with it. It might take us a while to gain peace because, you know, we are still in this body and this body wants to live. But I've already wondered, you know, those who are laying out there in the graveyard and were ready to meet their maker, I don't know if they see and hear what's going on here today in this church. I don't know that. I don't know how much they are involved with seeing how things go in our lives. If they see what we do, those are all things we do not know. But I've already wondered if we, and there again, this is where faith comes in. But I've already wondered if we would put as much effort into healing this body if we would really know how things are on the other side. If we would really know. Now, we're not supposed to know. And I know that God knows why he has kept that from us. But how would it be? Do you think it's possible that if we would know, and we would hear that we got cancer, and we'd say, well, that's just okay with me. Secretly, I'm a little glad because, you know, I get to go over there. It's where I want to go. If we could really see, I do not know. But I know that's unrealistic. When we, for here, you know, when we hear about somebody getting cancer, or if I would get cancer, to think that I'm glad. Because I'm just, I want to go over there and be there and partake in that life. I don't want to be here anymore. Are we ready to have that kind of life? But I know that as long as we are here, we have these ailments and things to contend with. But it is... Is there more of an opportunity for us to share our faith when we are in the middle of those kinds of trials? Like when we find out we have cancer. And when we went to the Contreras Clinic, I just always said, it has been so good for me to go there, even if it's just to see how some other people have it. You know, when you turn inward and you focus on yourself, then you just look at your sickness and you look at your ailments and you look at your things and you become so self-centered. And it makes me feel so selfish when I then go down there and meet this young wife that has cancer, and she seems to be happy, and she has accepted the fact, and however this comes out, what God wants, that's what I want. I'm ready to go. You know, that kind of sharing of the faith does me a world of good, puts me to shame. It makes me feel that I really am a selfish person. But sometimes just to go to a place where you have meet so many people that have terminal illnesses or not knowing if they'll be cured or not, just to relate to those people. And that is such a sharing of the faith when you see those people. And I see that Amish bishop or that Amish person in a bed just a few rooms from where my mom died. And he's laying there, and he had cancer about a month earlier, and they thought they had that cured, and now he's got it in three other places in his body, and one is up pushing against his brain. And he is there, and he has peace with that. That is sharing the faith. Let's kneel to pray.